The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about the mystery of the workings of God, His sovereign rule over the universe, and the clarity of our responsibility. We are responsible to do what God wants us to do. We are responsible to work, to suffer, to pray, to live, to take care of our families, to wash clothes, to wash dishes, to do the things that are included in the will of God. That is up to us, isn't it? God uses my hands to do His work. God uses my mind. God uses your hands, your mind, your body, your love. He wants to love others through you. One of the most incredible passages in the Scripture that brings out this mysterious harmony, doesn't always look like harmony, but mysterious working together of Almighty God's will and the will of a man. And in this particular passage that I'm going to read, it's the will of a very evil man. His name is Pilate. And you remember that the crowd has been asked whether they want Barabbas, who was a bandit and a murderer, or Christ to be released. And the chief priests and the officials and the crowd all cried, "Crucify him." But Pilate said, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." There is a mystery. The one who created the worlds, the one who designed the spider and taught the spider how to make the spider web, the one who keeps the planets where they belong, here he is in the power of a man named Pilate, a ruler. And yet, Jesus says, "You would have no power over me at all if it were not given to you from above." Why would God give power over his own beloved son to a wicked ruler? Do you think I can answer that question? He had the power to exercise power. And the power to exercise power is given to us by the power of God. Okay? Are you with me? Do you understand all that? Well, neither do I. I can't dissect it, but I can do what I ought to do. All things by the power of Him who strengthens me. Paul says, "I can do all things through Him who strengtheneth me, through Christ who strengtheneth me." In Romans 15:13, we read, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is a verse that my dear Canadian mom, Mom Cunningham, used to give me every time she wrote me a letter, I think. She would put Romans 15:13 in there. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is there someone that needs that verse today, someone feeling quite hopeless? My prayer is that the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace as you trust him. Paul goes on to say, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Ponder that connection there. What Christ has accomplished through me by what I have said and done. There are no limits to what Christ can do through you and me, through what we say and what we do, if we have given ourselves wholly to God. We are instruments. One of the prayers of my life is St. Francis of Assisi's great prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. I just want to be a tool in his hand. And that's what Paul is expressing here. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. God would not have said and done it. He chose Paul to say and do it. Paul could not have said and done it without the power of Christ working in him. By the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit, he says. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. I love that passage because it brings together those two mysteries that we're always trying to harmonize intellectually, and I just don't think it can be done. The work of God and the work of man. Man is answerable to God for what he says and what he does. I want Christ to be at work in me and through me. I can do all things by the power of him who strengthens me. God gave grace to Paul to be a minister so that the Gentiles might become an offering. He says, I glory first in Christ Jesus, and second, in my service for him. What Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God. So here we have Christ working in Paul, Paul working in the Gentiles by what I have said and done. A clear teaching that our obedience matters. Well, but you say, God really hasn't given me anything apostolic to do. He certainly hasn't given me anything like what Paul did. I work in a factory. I teach inner city kids in a school. I have a boring job. I work at home. I'm a student. I'm a prisoner. I'm a patient in a hospital. What can God possibly do through me? Well, you know, if I may say gently and courteously, it's really none of our business what God's ultimate purpose is through you and me, but we know it's going to be glory, glory to Christ, glory to himself, and glory and fulfillment for us as well. If we will simply put ourselves in his hands at his disposal. Lord, work out your will in my life. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. And I have a little quotation from W.H. Auden stuck on my typewriter now. I just came across it quite recently. And the grammar is not exactly correct, which I'm sure W.H. Auden understood. He says, if equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. If equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. Lord, where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And I left out a very important part. Teach me to seek not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. A sovereign Lord is at work on an intricate pattern of which you and I see only the wrong side. Just you wait till you see the right one. Oh, just you wait. That pattern is going to be so unimaginably, so spectacularly beautiful. We're going to see why those black threads were necessary. We're going to see why that little knot was necessary right there. It's part of the pattern. Will you trust him?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.